post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
That's right, it's time for this week's episode of the Near Post here on 2XX 98.3. No, I'm not Eamon Flanagan. Eamon is still away on a well-earned break, but I'm Aaron Walker, regular Far Post host, and with me is the glamorous Lucy Zelich.
The glamorous? Welcome, Lucy. Very exciting. Thanks for that introduction, Aaron. Well, thank you.
No worries. And also the less glamorous but equally knowledgeable Bernie Lustiger.
Thanks, Aaron. Good to be here.
And, you're not jealous that you didn't get a glamorous comment, no?
And we've got a big show this week. It's because we're just about running into the A-League. It's less than 48 hours away.
How
I've been waiting
exciting
for this a long time.
Is that?
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it?
So we'll run through the opening fixtures, talk a bit about that. And also, there's been a fair bit of other news going on today.
Bit of scandal floating about?
Yeah, there has been a bit of scandal. I like a bit of scandal.
We always love a bit of scandal. On the Near Post, I don't know so much, but on the Far Post, we're loving our scandal. Bernie, yeah. Welcome to the scandal.
Excellent. I like a bit of scandal as well.
So we'll get into that. And also, the Socceroos today announced their squad for the friendly next week. Bit of an experimental squad, some interesting selections there, so we'll get into that.
Yeah, I was quite surprised by some of those, actually, but yeah. We'll see how that works out, hey?
And firstly, is just an issue which I might bring up quickly. Last night, there was a brawl, an all-in brawl, the under-19s Australia versus China match.
This is all news to me, actually.
A women's match.
A women's match?
A women's match.
And there was a brawl.
Under-19s, girls, Matilda, young Matildas, I think they're called, playing against China. Yeah. I think they had someone sent off at halftime, the Australian team, and they were down 2-1. And then in the last minute, the 90th minute, they had a penalty turn down, which the coach says was a stone-cold penalty. It was 2 metres inside the box. They got awarded a free kick on the outside of the box. Oh. And then things just started kicking off. A punch was flown and thrown. And then the substitutes bench was in, the technical staff were in, and it was an all-in brawl.
Yeah,
all-in
brawl. Yeah,
all-in brawl. And then as the players were leaving the match, it says here that the crowd threw bottles at them, plastic bottles at them. This is like 15-year-old girls they're getting.
That's unbelievable. But I mean, what's going on there? Girls getting involved? I mean, 15-year-old girls getting involved in a brawl? What have we got to say about that?
Crowd pelting 15-year-old girls as they go past with bottles?
It all sounds like a very kind of South American sort of atmosphere, doesn't it? You know, where they all got their police guards up against the railings and, you know, it's all very tame.
Or the big wire fence. Have you seen the games where they need the big wire fence between the crowds?
Absolutely. Because they get out of control over there. So to hear that girls are getting involved, you know, maybe they're upping the ante a little bit, you know.
Yeah, it's a pretty important game too. So
could have been
qualifier.
That.
Well,
The Asian Under-19 Championship, so it's it wasn't a friendly or anything like that. So something to be taken seriously,
game.
But not
course.
That serious.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah, well, interesting stuff. And what else have you got for us, Aaron?
Also, just a quick one. North Queensland Fury have announced that they're going to receive their major sponsorship from Queensland Nickel, who is a refinery owned by billionaire Clive Palmer, who owns the Gold Coast. So
we love
go
these
with that?
Billionaires, don't we?
I love an eccentric billionaire, but he's owning the Gold Coast and he's the major sponsor of the Fury. Surely,
do you think that that's got to be a conflict of interest, though, Bernie? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm surprised. I mean, it's news to me today. Obviously, I hadn't heard that.
I might actually say I'm not sure it's a signed deal yet, but it's definitely about to happen, and we've got some quotes here from
Mr.
Matheson.
Mr. Palmer's got a lot of companies, a lot of interest, so he might not be the sole owner, he might just be a shareholder. I don't know, I'm just guessing
yeah.
If he's the sole owner, then it'd be strange, because I know Gold Coast carries his mineralogy logo on their shirts, mm-hmm. and they fly on their mineralogy jet, so... Yep. You know, I'm sure being a billionaire, he's probably got, you know, how many shelf companies or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm not sure about ownership, but I can tell you that Palmer himself is directly dealing in the negotiations, because there's quotes here from Mr. Matheson, who's the chairman of Fury, and it says, it's definitely on track with all A-League other levels. Mr. Palmer has been more than fair with us. So it sounds like he's got...
Interesting.
Oh, so he's got quite a hand in a bit of involvement
in
that one.
I'm not sure the logistics of that or how FFA look at it, but I'm sure they'll be... happy to get a sponsorship, whichever way they get one.
Oh, well, the more money that's coming into football, the better. It's just,
of course, but here's a question for you. Are there sanctions that the FFA have that basically, you know, they've got a say in what goes on in terms of the sponsorships and which clubs are involved with which people, etc.? I mean, is there something out there that's got...
Well, there is a bit of precedent to this. When Sydney FC started, they were owned majority by Frank Lowy
yeah.
And Westfield were also the opening sponsors of the Central Coast Mariners when they started up. So there is a similar thing going on, but surely it's something you want to avoid if you can.
I I would have to agree, actually. I mean, because then you're going to avoid all of those kind of sourpuss reactions when people say, well, hang on, you know, he's involved. Well, just like what we're saying. Well, hang on, he's involved with one team and he's sponsoring another.
Right. As a major sponsor of the Fury, he now has a certain influence around the club.
Of course he does. He's got to maintain that he's got a bit of cohort around there. So it's interesting.
We don't want to dwell on this too much.
I still think it's good, though.
Absolutely. Like I said, the more money going in. Actually, I just wanted to say something very quickly. We've got listeners all over the world, everybody. Listeners out there, boys in here. AJ, who lives in London, he wrote in to Eamon and said, great stuff, Eamon. Love your podcast, mate. Always listen to it from London. And that was posted on Football Path website in response to the fanzine. So we're always very happy to get those kinds of emails and great feedback from everybody.
Fantastic. We have one from Costa Rica once. There's people listening in Costa Rica.
Incredible. I love it. That's always exciting. So anybody out there listening to our podcasts or whoever's listening to us live at the moment, we always love to hear from you. So wherever you're from, please get your info into us.
And have a look at the fanzine that comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Wow.
Can we talk about the excitement? Bernie, when did you get your article in?
I'm not on the article at the moment.
Oh, you're not on the article?
No, I'm not doing anything at this stage.
No.
Maybe Eamon will get me in there somehow, but at the moment I'm just a supporter of the fanzine.
Oh, that's fair. And we love to have supporters. We do love to have supporters. I will go right out there and say that I did actually write one of my articles today. And there was a bit of miscommunication. I almost missed out on having my article appear on there because the deadline was confused. I had one email say that I studied very closely that said 5th, which is tomorrow, and I thought, oh, you know, I'll bash it out, you know, I'll just do it 20 minutes before it's due. And then I got a call from Eamon and said, where's your article? And I went, oh. But there was another email that came through that said, no, it's actually changed to Monday. So,
well, hopefully Eamon's listening out there, and we've given him a good plug for this fanzine. So anyone that hasn't subscribed or put their email down, make sure you get onto it and get a copy.
Absolutely.
He's got some great writers together too.
He has.
Very star-studded lineup.
Football Tragic, Mike Salter. I know Mike. He's a nice guy and a great writer. But anyway, one more thing which I might bring up quickly while we've got you here, Bernie, our expert on all things Gold Coast, is what is Miron Blyberg and Clive Palmer playing at in this opening fixture? I mean, Clive Palmer said he's not going to attend. He's encouraged Gold Coast supporters not to attend. And Miron Blyberg is on a self-imposed media strike. He's not talking about the game. So they're not doing a whole lot to promote it, are they?
Well, I've followed it quite religiously in the last couple of weeks to see what's going on. And apparently at the launch yesterday, Miron sent, or not apparently, he sent Paul Okon and one of the players. And where Miron was sitting, there was a cardboard cutout of Miron. So that was really, really exciting. So that's good. But my point of view is, and someone else has raised this on some of the blogs, that by doing what they've done, they have actually lifted the profile by saying that they're not going. So I'm quite convinced that Clive and Miron are certainly masters of promotion, and they've gone about which most people wouldn't have done it this way, and they've done it this way.
Well, I can tell you,
going to guarantee everyone hates. Well, you know, if you're not from Gold Coast, they hate the Gold Coast, but that's going to bring a lot of rivalry to the games when they're playing. So there's method to their madness.
What they seem to be very effectively building is the famous Alex Ferguson siege mentality. It's everyone versus us.
It is everyone
you
versus
all hate
us.
And
yeah.
We hate you.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's great. I really do. I've been to the Gold Coast a lot now since Stephen's been up there, and to flip over the back page and you'll find the Gold Coast United on the back page of a sporting page with a big picture of Miron in a with his mouth gagged because he said he wasn't going to do anything. That's an achievement in itself. So
it's almost a media circus, isn't it?
Yeah, so what he needs to do now, obviously the club needs to get the points on the board and then people realise it's serious. But, you know, once you can get onto the back page of your local newspaper, that's something to look forward to. Well, I'm just going to digress back to Clive Palmer. We should have convinced him to come put his money down into our Canberra bid, not Fury, but, you know, see how we go next time.
Well, apparently he's a diehard rugby league fan, played it as a kid, loved it his whole life, so I don't know why he's in football.
We need someone big in Canberra so we can push our team and have a Canberra team.
There seems to be a lot of that going on, though, like a lot of people being involved, like particularly sponsors. Like we heard about the Melbourne Victory. Apparently they were going to start the rugby union franchise down there in Victoria.
Basketball as well. They've had a crack.
Basketball as well. There's a lot of that going on. But again, I mean, can we really criticise them? No, because it just means that more money is coming in and we're keeping sport alive in Australia. So the more the merrier, the more money you want to throw at it.
I think, you know, football is moving.
It is.
Moving forward, and a lot of people are going to get on the bandwagon, and we're talking about rugby union and basketball and that, and why not? You know, they're going into Asia. The exposure is massive, so, yeah, I think it's great.
Okay, and we might go to the first round of the A-League fixtures we've got coming up this weekend, or the first game's on Thursday, actually, and we might run through and get a bit of your feelings about the games, guys.
Predictions. Who's going to come out with it? Absolutely.
What do you think? And we'll start with the first fixture, the opening fixture, which is the Champions Melbourne Victory at home taking on the Central Coast Mariners. Guys, what do we think?
Oh, look, without a doubt, I'm going to have to say that Melbourne Victory are going to take that one out. Whilst I think that the Central Coast are a strong team and they can consistently fight throughout the season, I don't think that they have what it takes to beat a championship team like Melbourne. So that's my prediction for you there.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I was looking at sport bet odds before I got into the show today.
And, do you have a punt?
No, I don't. But Melbourne's at $1.68, which is, you know, these bookies know what they're doing. And, you know, looking at Melbourne's team, current champions, they haven't lost many players or any at all. You know, they're at home, big crowd. Yeah, I think that's got to be a victory.
Absolutely. Melbourne. I think you're right, guys. And
you're
really,
in agreement?
Yeah, I agree. They've kept the core of their championship squad, re-signed key players, Archie Thompson, Kevin Muscat, all those kind of guys, Allsop. Hernandez was a big one, so they've got a great team, and I really can't see the Central Coast.
Can't fault them, and that's a big advantage. Constantly having the same squad that you're working with, as well as the same head coach. I mean, that's got to work in a team's favour, and that's proved to be right in so many instances.
I really think Ernie Merrick is the most underrated coach in the A League.
Underrated? You don't think he gets enough raps?
No, I don't think he does.
Okay, then who?
Especially from the Melbourne fans, there's a lot of criticism of the way Merrick plays,
which is a surprise considering that they constantly do so well. Who do you think he's? A question for you boys. Who is the most overrated coach? I mean, I know it's a bit early to tell because we're going into a new season now, but who do you well, let's track back then. Who has been the most overrated coach?
I'm not sure about the most. Overrated, I don't like the word, but there's certainly coaches like Cosmina and Ron Smith who we've actually interviewed. I'm a big fan of Ron, but these are the kind of guys, they're getting jobs at the assistant positions at the Socceroos. They were both Socceroos assistants, same as Graham Arnold, where Ernie Merrick's never been talked about, that kind of thing. I've never even seen mentioned as a possible candidate. So it's that kind of development opportunity which I've never seen him put in line for. And a lot of the Melbourne fans don't like him either. They really don't like...
Wonder what the impetus is behind that.
They say he's very good at what he does, but he only has one method of play, and once that method isn't working, he doesn't have a backup plan, a plan B, to change things. He's not good at changing the game.
Well, they keep winning, fans.
It's hard to criticise when you win the grand final two out of four, so, you know.
Exactly, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's my theory. So, moving on to the next one.
Yep, Adelaide versus Perth. Adelaide at home. That's going to be a tight one, actually.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to the brand new Perth. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. So, I'm going to just take a punt and say that Perth might take this out. I mean, are we going to factor in, you know, losses or draws? What are we doing?
You can pick and draw.
It could even be very tight. It could be, you know, a one-all game, something like that. But I'll rely on Perth for this
one. I think Adelaide have lost a few players.
They have lost a couple of players.
They haven't very pivotal ones. Too well. I'm not sure if they're still under FFA rule.
I believe they are. And they've
even though they had to hand back the licence and everything like that.
Mark Rudin.
They've got him training at the moment, and I think he'll play the first fixture. I think they'll sign him in
basically
time.
Perth, you know, Stojowski, Burns, Coyne.
Andy Todd, of course. I don't think he's playing in the first fixture, but he's a good signing.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, it's an away game for Perth. I wouldn't be surprised if they won, but I'm going for a draw there.
I might go for a draw as well.
Yeah. I said one all, and then I thought either one all or it could be Perth that takes it in by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah, if it was in Perth, I'd definitely pick. But Perth were terrible away last year. They didn't win hardly any points on
terrible
the road.
Terrible record.
And it is tough for them when they're so far away.
They played Gold Coast the last week, and Gold Coast did win 1-0, but on all accounts, Perth are going to be a good side, provided no injuries and...
They can pull it together.
Well, they've put most of their eggs in a couple of baskets. They've got a few big-name players, and if they get injuries to those players, the rest of the squad is not too crushing.
27 games, it's going to test a lot of the teams out. So
that's why it's scary when we start to put so much emphasis on our marquee players and our strong squad, because then you think, right, what does happen if things all, you know, hit the fan and then you don't have those players on the park for that particular day? So, yeah, I think it's important that you create that stability throughout the entire squad.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
Yep, debutants North Queensland Fury are playing the revitalised Sydney FC up in Townsville there. So that's going to be a very interesting fixture.
It is going to be an interesting game.
That is. On paper, you'd have to pick Sydney. I mean, I would have to pick Sydney. They've had a fantastic pre-season, new coach, new system, a lot of good
players. I
know
they've gone undefeated, 14 games I think it is, but they haven't played anyone good.
Yeah, they did. They've played Mariners. They've played a few games, State League New South Wales games. Yeah. They're not too shabby teams that they've played against. I'm just obviously voicing my opinion. I think the only drawback for Sydney is the long, long trip to Townsville. It's a long, long trip.
What about the conditions? Will that play a factor?
Well, I was
very
just going
hot
to
up
ask
there,
that, yeah.
Yes,
Townsville boys were used to training up there, you'd assume. So. Yeah.
But again, new club coming up against Sydney, only missed out on the top four by a point last year, even though, you know, everyone bagged Cosmina, but, you know, blooded a lot of new young boys, Kofi Danning, Ryan Grant, Brendan Gann, all these boys are still there. So, you know, I'm tipping Sydney, but... You know, Fowler influence, big crowd, you never know.
I'm going to actually agree with you, Bernie. I think that's the way that it's going to go, only because, again, it's just the way that it is. It's a brand new team, regardless of the fact that they're...
Always takes new teams a while to gel.
It does, and that's always a worry. You know, these players, despite the fact that we've got the transfer system going and you lose a few key players here or there, you've still got that core structure that's been set up for quite a while since the A-League first started. So whether or not they can come out and actually produce something worthwhile is going to be another story, but I will agree with Bernie on that one.
I think in front of a passionate home team in their very first ever fixture, a bit of adrenaline will be there, and they might get up for a draw in North Queensland.
And see, we don't even know what kind of crowds they'll be able to generate up there either.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me in the A-League because I really believe it's close. It's very close.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and what do we think of Sydney's new coach, the Czech?
Well, all reports that, his pedigree, he's come from Europe. He's got some good results in his native country.
Coach of the year over there one year, so they don't give that away too easy.
No.
Sydney have recruited well with...
Carol Kissel.
And they had a good squad last year. I was privy to a lot of their games because Stephen was in the youth team last year there. So, and like I said, they only missed out on the finals by a point, and they had massive injuries last year that people didn't factor into what was happening. And, you know, when you don't follow a club closely, you don't realise... you had Colosimo out for most of the season, and it was a big loss. So, I really feel that, Sydney starts well, they're going to be really tough.
And do you think Aloisi can come back and recapture some old form under a new format?
I watched him a few games last year. He got a lot of crap from the crowd, but hard to get out of that. But, he's a true professional. He certainly wasn't fazed by it all. Obviously, he didn't like what was happening, so he's probably got a point to prove this year.
He wouldn't have been very happy with his performance at all. No. But actually, I wanted to track back. Sorry to cut you off there, Bernie, but your son, obviously everybody out there who's listening keeps hearing Stephen and they don't know who it is.
Okay.
But for those of you out there listening, Stephen is Bernie's son and he's now been granted a contract up at the Gold Coast.
That's right.
And he's now away with the Young Socceroos as well, playing tonight against Singapore.
That's right. They're currently in Vietnam and they're playing in a tournament in Asia and they do play Singapore tonight. They're playing a five-game tournament, so he's going to miss out on the first two games of the season, not knowing he would have been in the squad or not, but this is a good opportunity for him to get some more caps.
Absolutely. So he was obviously then with the National Youth League team with Sydney.
Last year.
What about the process about him getting up to the Gold Coast?
And sorry, does he have a seniors contract in the Gold Coast?
He has a youth team contract.
So is he allowed to play in the seniors team?
Yes,
Oh,
he's
brilliant.
He's played in all the friendly games, scored against Fury, played against Fulham. He trains with the first team.
Because I remember last year Adelaide couldn't use some of their youth players because they'd had all their 23 allocated senior spots were taken and you're not allowed to use the players.
They've slightly changed the rules this year to allow for injuries and...
That makes sense.
Doesn't it make much more sense?
The coach can use, the youth team players at any time if he believes he can, your question was how did he get to the Gold Coast? Well, basically, Paul Oakons is the assistant at the Gold Coast, and he was coach of the Australian under-18 side, and he told Mr. Palmer about Stephen and,
got him up there for a trial, had a look.
There's no trial. They signed him.
They signed him immediately. Fantastic.
They wanted him up there, so it was a tough decision. Stephen was very happy. He won a youth league grand final with Sydney FC and loved Rocky up there in Sydney, Kofi, Danning.
He would have played, teammate, that's right, yeah, played together.
Deacon, they played at Deacon together, and Sam Munro, mm-hmm. another boy that he played with. So he loved Sydney. It was fantastic. But, you know, the opportunity was given to him. They told he could train with the first team, promised that he would be given a great chance.
That's
and
great.
And that's actually happened because he's, like I said, scored against the Fury in their first match and played against Fulham. So, okay. You know.
And while we're on the Gold Coast, the next fixture is the big one, the one that's got more publicity than all the other fixtures put together.
We love it. Oh, that's
a big one. I'm going to the
Gold Coast. Oh, you're going to
it?
Yeah,
me and my
wife
are going to.
We'll have to get you in.
Yeah, historic game.
We booked the flights a long time ago before we knew about the Vietnam trip, so we're going to be there. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely.
You know, the Roar are going to have a good crowd, home team, Frank Farina rivalry with Miron Bloberg.
They really are building a rivalry, aren't they?
I love it. There's today, so much more
especially
excitement.
With this switched fixture business that went on in the draw. Yeah. What was your take behind that, Bernie?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. FFA, I mean, they run the show, so you got to listen to them. But it was a bit strange and that they... change the fixture from Gold Coast home ground to the Roar, considering that FFA got some stake in the Roar until they get a new owner. Mm. But, you know, that's football. You've got to deal with it. But I think...
Roll with the punches?
Yeah, I think Miron and Clive have certainly milked the media as much as they can, and it's going to be great.
I was speaking to... a friend of mine, I'm going to get myself in trouble here, but someone connected with one of the A-League clubs, and he was telling me that every season there are 6 or 8 or 10 something preliminary draws, and they switch the fixtures all around the place, and by leaking that to the media for the Gold Coast, it was a big, big no-no, and he couldn't rule out the FFA switching the fixture to punish them for that.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, I think...
and he also said it's not a fixture until the final draw is released,
right.
They never had it in the first place.
They never had it in the first place, but the anticipation was, I know from Clive Palmer, that, you know, new club, Fury's got their first game at home. He expected the Gold Coast to be at home. So I can understand where he's coming from, but, you know, you got to deal with it. But like I said, they've milked the publicity for all it's worth, and it's going to be interesting. So it's going to be good. You know, the Gold Coast have gone 19 games undefeated in the preseason.
Yeah, it really is impressive.
Played a lot of games, and I watched most of those games. And you know, it's going to be hard. A new club, it's going to be hard to get the results. But you know, I'm obviously hoping that the Gold Coast does win. And but whatever happens, I think it's going to be a good game because the Roar are a good team.
Gold Coast, Lucy.
Yeah, I'll say the Gold Coast, but again, I was going to throw a bit of controversy into the mix, a bit of a rebuttal to you there, Bernie. If the pre-season, I mean, if we've just tracked back over the past A-League seasons, if the pre-season is any indication of who's going to take out the title, it's never really eventuated, has it?
Melbourne did
Melbourne
the pre-season cup last year, yeah. So
but,
they
but
did follow through. Yeah,
that's
pre-season
right.
is very hard because
it's always
the coach... is trying different combinations, players get injured.
I think they beat the Phoenix in the grand final of the preseason
cup.
Yeah,
you know, they won everything last year, victory. So, you know, it does put you on a, you know, I'm sure being as an ex-coach, I would rather see my team unbeaten in preseason than lose all the games and then have to motivate them to a different level.
To get to a better standard.
These guys are professionals. They're not going to want to lose to Roar or anyone for that matter.
Okay. We're running out of time, guys, so we might move it along because we've still got to talk about the Socceroos.
Oh, goodness gracious. Go on.
So I'll tip the Brisbane very quickly on the last one. Newcastle Wellington, not exactly a blockbuster.
You know what? I'm going to say Wellington.
Yeah, I'm
just
going
to say
Wellington.
There's so much disarray going on at the Jets.
I heard they only had 8 players at training last week, the Jets.
Wow.
The rest were away with the young Socceroos and injured and all kinds of things. So,
Phoenix under the radar, so let's give them a wrap.
The squad
give them a go.
Bad.
Go to Wellington then. Moving on to Socceroos.
Socceroos, they just announced their squad today for the upcoming friendly, which is next week against Ireland. And there were some surprise inclusions.
Surprising.
3 players on debut. One was Oliver Bosniak, who's an interesting take.
Where's he currently playing? Fill me in on that one.
Cheltenham Town in England, which is the second league.
I think he was with Reading, and he's on loan to...
You know, he did play the preseason with the Central Coast Mariners in 2007. Yeah. Couldn't pick up a Mariners contract, and then Reading signed him.
Yeah,
and they were in the Premier League in the time.
Yeah, he's been at Reading for a while. His dad's an ex... I'm not sure if he's ex-Socceroo, but he did play in Adelaide. So he's an Adelaide boy, and he's got a good pedigree. He's played in the Young Socceroos. Doesn't surprise me.
Aaron Moy from Bolton Wanderers, another one on debut.
Great.
Another one that is playing overseas, and your brother rates him very highly. Oh, yeah. He watched him at the Young Socceroos.
And he was Ned was impressed?
He was impressed. He, they played in Holland in the tournament just not long ago.
Which he got out there to have a look at. So I know that he was keeping his eye out.
He was impressed with this young guy.
And the third debutante, who we all know about, is Nicky Rukavica.
Nikita. We like Nikita. I think he was fantastic. He did so well at Perth. And he's now so he's quick. Moved on. He is so quick. Yeah, so much pace behind him.
He scored for his club the other day in a friendly. So.
Well done.
And he even played half an hour of a Champions League match. Yeah. So that's serious football.
That is serious
he's
football.
He's always been earmarked as a potential Socceroo. So
big thing.
He's doing some work overseas and warrants his selection. So, you know.
Absolutely.
He keeps a good eye on players overseas, so he has a good feel of what's out there.
And Dario Vidasic and Reece Williams.
Yep, I was just about to get to this. I've got a couple of players highlighted here, which I thought were kind of interesting, along with the regular contenders. We've also got, Vidasic and Williams. So Vidasic got a handful of minutes in the last game we played. Yeah. I think
and
it was 8.
Williams he played well.
Williams as well got a lot more. He played the whole game down in Melbourne against someone there. I went to the match, so I should remember who it was.
Again, Dario Vidasic, we watched him play in Germany when we were there this year.
For Nuremberg?
In Nuremberg.
Yeah, and he's doing so well. It's so great to see him doing fantastically.
One of the boys, Muron, gave a chance to.
Yeah,
Muron,
I remember.
He was coaching,
and his, his dad was the assistant coach for Rade Vidasic.
Yeah, your team coach. So, okay. You know, these boys that go overseas and do well.
And
they deserve to get picked.
Speaking of Nuremberg, Matthew Sporanovic also given a grow, and I think that's a fantastic move because he did so well in the Olympics.
He did, and he's such a strong defender. I mean, I've had the chance to watch him play a couple of times. I know him personally myself. He's a very great guy, very headstrong, very disciplined, and with his game, he's very on point. So great to see him selected.
I really thought after the 06 World Cup, Craig Moore would retire and someone needed to step up and take that second centre-back spot next to Lucas Neal.
Yep.
No one's really done it. Jade North had a go. Chris Coyne had a go. A couple of others had a go. No one's really stamped their authority and said, that spot is mine and you're not taking
it. They haven't, have they? It always
so
is up for grabs.
There still is a chance. I mean, Craig Moore had to come back out of retirement. I still think he's a little slow for that World Cup level. So there really is a chance for someone like Sporanovic to step up and say, look, that spot is mine.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're looking very forward to it, though. It's going to be a great game, and it's always good to see all of our boys.
It is next week.
It is, yeah. It's always good to see our boys coming back and you know, representing their country.
August 12th, that game is. Patrick Snorbo is another one they've brought back. I'm not a fan of this selection. He's had a couple of goes at it. He's had a couple of bites of the cherry. He's never been able to really stamp his authority on a regular Socceroos spot, so I'm not sure why they're bringing him back for another go.
Interesting. Yeah,
the
maybe
the game's in Dublin, isn't it? Or
Limerick.
Limerick, okay.
Limerick,
so obviously Pim's looking at overseas-based players, and so he's got a number to pick from, so that could be... Obviously, he's played before and hasn't done too well, but another opportunity up there for him.
Adrian Madashi, the player who's been languishing in the Italian lower divisions for the last 2 years after being a...
Porto Gruaro, Sumaga, that is the team.
I wasn't going to try and pronounce it.
I hope I did a good job out there for all the Italians.
And James Holland is back as well. And he,
well done, James Holland.
This will be his second cap, I think. Yeah. I think he played against Singapore that time when we had a very experimental 11. I think he's a fantastic
player. We did have a
player.
Very experimental 11. That was a great way to put
very
it.
Very young players.
And so we'll be back next week on the national version of the Near Post.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first.